I'm joined on Radio Jackie this morning by Paul Scully, who's the MP for Sutton and Cheam. We had Autism Awareness Day not long ago. Now, I know that you went to drop-in sessions in Parliament. Do you want to tell us about that?
For Autism Awareness Day, a session in Parliament where educationalists, campaigners all came in to help raise awareness, obviously, for about autism, about diagnosis, about what it's like for children to go through the process of having to try and stay within mainstream education. They actually pointed out the fact that the percentage of people that were unhappy at school because they're not getting the care and support that they need. And there's lots more that we can be doing around that.
And from that session, what did you gather needs to happen, needs to change, and how are you going to do that?
Well, I think, first of all, people with special education needs need better support so that they can stay within mainstream schooling, ideally. We need to make sure that teachers are trained well enough as well, so they can get the support from their SENCOs, their special education need coordinators that all schools have. So that the children can play a wholesome part in their life, and they can become not just productive members of society, but have a sense of self-worth rather than just being sort of put on the scrap heap at an early age because of their diagnosis. In Sutton, we have an issue around actually getting that support in the first place. And whereas there is an issue around the country around the cost of this, in Sutton, it's because of the way Cognos, the organisation that the council outsourced all this diagnosis for, works. When it goes to a tribunal, if parents are not happy because they're not getting the support, something like 95% of parents win their tribunals. So the default option is for Cognos and the council in Sutton to say, no, we don't want to give you the support.
Now, I know you're training for London Marathon in April. Have you run a marathon before?
Yeah, this will be my third marathon. My second one for running for the London, for the Royal Marsden. Obviously, Royal Marsden is in Sutton. It does amazing work. It's one of our biggest employers, so important for constituents, but it's important for the country because it's one of the best cancer hospitals in the world. So I'm hoping to beat my time from last time, so I could do with everybody's support. You can look at my social media too if they kindly donate towards the cause, but I'm looking forward to it in April. It's hard work though.
Yeah, and so how have you been training and preparing for it? Because I've never run a marathon. I'd have no idea how to prepare.
Well, I've done a few half marathons, and as I say, this is my third marathon. I have an app. There's a thing called Cooper app, Cooper app, that's tied in with the sponsors of the marathon, and it tells me what to do on a given day. I'll do a long run. I've got to do 27 kilometers on Sunday. I've got to do a run about 10k later on today. I run four times a week, and so it is quite tough. It's actually tough to find the time as well as the energy expended in doing so around a busy life.
Absolutely. I was going to say it must be tricky. And what would you say to people to encourage them to donate?
Well, as I say, if they can go to my Twitter feed, my Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, they'll see the link to my my donation page. It's infuse.com, it's called. And I'd love them to support me, but there are loads of other people running for equally worthy causes. So please do just to give generously, because it just gives us, all the runners, a real flip when we're actually going out training those hard miles in weather like this at the moment. Gives us a little boost to know that we're doing some good as well as keeping ourselves healthy.
And once you've completed the marathon in April, have you got any plans on how you're going to celebrate, or is it just relaxation time?
Oh, who knows? The first time I did a marathon was when it was in October after COVID, and where normally when people come and your family meet you and they give you a protein bar or a drink or something like that, my other half came up to Westminster and gave me a suitcase because I had to go up to our party conference straight away, so I had to sit on a train for 2 hours afterwards. Not the best decompressing time for a marathon. So I don't know what I'm going to do this time. It won't be sitting on a train, that's for sure.
I was going to say, who knows what's going to happen. Moving on, Elliot Colburn described his suicide attempt in PMQs on Wednesday. Are you proud of your colleague for detailing something so personal?
Yeah, I am. I really am. At that time, Elliot was going through some, had a really difficult grey time in his life. And to be able to share that in such a high profile setting takes a lot of bravery, a lot of courage. It was very emotional, you know, good on him for doing so, because I think that's that sort of problem shared as a problem halved type of line. And he is in a position of power, so to be able to speak out like that, I think really, I hope, gives a boost to other people who are thinking of these sort of dark thoughts or have gone through that process, to know that they're not alone. That's really, really key, that there is support and help out there. And they're often loving families, which these people, when they're going through those kind of times and collapsing on themselves, forget sometimes.
Do you think more politicians need to be more open about their mental health, like Elliot was?
Yeah, I think yes, as long as you do it in that sort of way, because I mean, what I don't think, in to be slightly trivial about it, is what I don't think people want a day in, day out, is MPs emoting rather than getting on with the, you know, the order of the day. But if you've got something as powerful a testament as Elliot has, then I think to share that can be extremely influential and have a real positive effect.
Do you think the Prime Minister's response was adequate, seeing suicide rates are not decreasing, especially among men?
Look, I mean, suicide is one of the highest killer of men under 30. There's always more we can do. We're putting a lot of resource into and attention into you know, having a strategy to try and tackle this through the Department of Health and Social Care, and that's actually something that we spread around the departments as well. So they are leading a bit of work in mental health, which impacts on Department of Health, Work and Pensions, Department of Business, on Justice and local government because of homelessness and these kind of things. So every bit of government is looking at this. The Prime Minister actually saw Elliot shortly afterwards in his office to really get, you know, say well done for doing it, but also find out more about what the kind of issues that Elliot was raising as well. So I'm glad he spent that time with Elliot afterwards.
Yeah, and you've just mentioned, you know, there's things being done, but do you think the government has done enough to support those feeling suicidal?
I think there's always more we can do. Because, I mean, and it doesn't always take money and resource. Sometimes it's just telling people to speak out. To talk. Blokes in particular are not very good at sharing their feelings, sharing their emotions, so they bottle it up. There's amazing initiatives. I remember there was a Norwich City, the football club, came out with a really powerful video about a couple of blokes that always met up with the season ticket holders, and one of them eventually took their life, and it wasn't the guy that you thought. And it's those kind of influences telling in a male environment, telling other blokes in particular, please do share, please do ask people if they are all right, that you can then get to the nub of the problem. But there's more the government can do all the time. There is.
Okay, moving on to the Horizon scandal. In Sir Ed Davies' most recent interview with us, he apologised for the offence he caused to sub-postmasters. He's still not apologised for his role in the post office scandal. Should he resign?
Oh, look, that's up to the Lib Dems. I mean, the Lib Dems, as they will pick their leader, and they will. It's up to them to work out what kind of leader they want, and if he's, So I'm not really interested in that per se. That's a party matter. In terms of the fact that he's apologised, I'm glad he's finally apologised. I'm not sure why it took him so long. It was a strange few interviews that he get when had when he was just talking about regret. But I've not castigated him about what he did in 2010, because I don't know what I would have done in that given situation. I hoped I would have asked more questions, but I just don't know. And so, he needs to look hard at what he did at the time, because I know he holds other ministers at a different level to what he obviously did in 2010. And it's that intellectual consistency that's really important for any MP, and particular for a party leader.
Do you think the Lib Dems will suffer because of the scandal?
Well, I think they already are. I mean, the polling is halved in the last few weeks, because people don't often look at the Lib Dems, as in a Westminster context, and they might look at it locally. And then each time that they've looked, they don't particularly like what they see. I mean, that happened in 2015 with them having been in coalition, and it's sort of happening now, because when you are a third party, you can say whatever you want because you don't get the same scrutiny. This was the first time Ed Davies had some proper scrutiny.
And Seema Misra, who was obviously involved in the Horizon scandal, has called for everyone who was involved in the scandal, including politicians, to be jailed. Is she right for saying this?
Well, Seema's gone through so much. She was pregnant at the time when she was convicted. And no, she's not right in terms of everybody needs to go to jail. But I think I can suspect there may be jail time for some people, or you're at least threatened with jail time, because some people really did double down on what was happening at the time. This isn't just a computer software issue. It's a human scandal. It's the way the post office, the Fujitsu and other organizations handled it. I won't just blindly support government as well. If there are people in government, civil service and what have you that are found to be wanting, then they should be held accountable. But I think jail time is always going to be reserved for the most egregious people within this.
Now, we have been talking about Euler's again this week. Euler's advert was found early this week to be misleading by the ASA. TfL says it's disappointed by the finding. Will you be using this to go back to Sadiq Khan and ask him to rethink the policy?
Absolutely. Time and time again, since Sadiq Khan, the mayor, said he wanted to expand Euler's to outer London, including Sutton, he's been using dodgy figures and he's been found out time and time again. It just goes to show that, you know, the mayor is doing this for his own ends. He doesn't care whether he's mayor of London or mayor of Gotham City. He just wants to be mayor. He likes the title. He likes and his anti-car. Whereas people in Sutton, people in outer London, and I was up in Enfield yesterday speaking to them, they're suffering just as much, are really struggling to have to make the changes that he's imposing on them for small, if any, benefits in terms of air pollution. There's way, way better ways of tackling air pollution than this heavy-handed sledgehammer.
Yeah, so surely the whole scheme needs to be looked at again now that some key pledges have been found to be misleading, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all based on sand, his argument for ULEZ in outer London. It is different from the rest of London. And, you know, pollution is in hot spots rather than spread right the way around. And it's just not in the way that he's been describing it. As I say, this is the second or third time, or possibly even more, actually, that he's been found to have dodgy figures.
The final question I have for you today, Paul, is about London mayoral campaign. Do you still feel that Susan Hall is the right choice, considering she has admitted publicly not knowing key information about issues, including Hammersmith Bridge?
Well, she is the choice. I put my name forward to because I thought I was the best candidate. And as I've always said, it'd be hypocritical of me to have changed that view, because it is a £20 billion a year organisation. I've talked about the weakness of Sadiq Khan, the fact that he's just... comfortably the worst. He's a skilled politician, but he's comfortably the worst mayor we've had. And Susan's got to step up to not just complain about Sadiq Khan, but to show that she can run a £20 billion a year organisation. And you do have to do the detail. You've got to, you know, Richmond, one of the reasons that we never get Hammersmith Bridge and all these other situations sorted was because people look at the headline and don't do the detail, don't do the hard work. And that's what she's got to show over the less than 100 days now until the election.